You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the love you've shed abroad in our hearts. And Father, for the way you meet our needs. I also thank you, Father God, that you provide for us and open doors for us and direct our paths, and that we can have faith in you and trust in you. Lord, right now we just pray that your word would bring life and that the ears would be opened and the hearts open to receive the truth, and Father God, to act on that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Who's been a Christian for less than 15 years? Hands up if you've been a Christian. Big hands up. All right. Okay. Who's been a Christian for less than 25 years? Less than 25 years? Hands up again. Okay. I can say what I like about this because you guys won't remember. Tonight we're going to be speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in particular we're looking at tongues. Now if you've been around back in the late 70s, or even the early 70s, you would have realised that the hottest topic going in churches was speaking in tongues. Because if you did, you were nuts. And if you didn't, you weren't saved. And that was the way it was. I remember going down to Coorong Bookstore when it was a little Anabaptist bookstore. And I was going through Bible college. And all the bookshelves were about why speaking in tongues is of the devil. Seriously. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There was a Don Prout. I remember him. Fondly. And so you had these all this stuff going on, and everyone's going, look, yeah, if you do this, you're an absolute whacker. And I'd been raised in a unusual Christian environment. I'd gone to a number of different churches. And when my mother became rededicated or born again, seriously, she went straight to a Pentecostal church. Now, a Pentecostal church was a Pentecostal church because it spoke in tongues. It didn't necessarily have to have any of the love, grace, fruit of the Spirit, but it spoke in tongues. And I remember the first time I walked into that church, parked my motorbike, took my helmet off, walked in there, and this guy came running up to me in a pale cream three-piece suit, hair up in a pompadour. He had a face that looked like it had been made to be in toothpaste commercials. He had more teeth than Luna Park. And he went to throw his arms around me and welcome me into the church. I almost lost my salvation right there and then. Because I put my hand on his chest up and I went, come near me, I'll drop you. But he spoke in tongues. Yeah. I didn't know what I'd hit. Then, as Graham will remember, you reached into your pocket, you pulled out your hanky, hopefully it was clean, and because the person at the front told you to, you'd wave your hanky in the air going, joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. Now, you've got to understand something. I was a biker, but I'd also been a university student studying English and languages. And I'm looking at this mob going, what have I done? I mean, I wasn't that desperate. I mean, you know, having a Catholic background, a couple of hundred years in purgatory wouldn't hurt, surely. It was a game changer. But that was just a trip down memory lane for those who remember when the Pentecostal church was the Pentecostal church. Before we had user-friendly services or we decided we weren't going to offend anybody or anything like that. Tonight there are notes and I'm going to try and stick with them. But there's 22 pages of notes. Yeah, I am, because I'm going to skip most of it. Yeah, but I'm going to... No, they're here, and I'll point to them, but I'm not going to read them. We're going to start at the back rather than at the front. All right. I want you to look or go to where it starts talking about interpretation of tongues. Tongues are given to us by the Holy Spirit because they are invaluable to us. But the gifts of the Spirit, which was what we've been studying, we're looking at the gifts of different kinds of tongues which are used in a church service so that they actually are used for the body. Every other gift we've looked at is to be used for the body of Christ. So whilst we will get back to some of the other interesting aspects of tongues, right now I'd just like to talk about the gift of tongues in the church, or diverse tongues in the church. Once upon a long time, in a land far, far away, you would go to church and there would be three prophecies. Would that be right? Thanks, Richard. Three prophecies, there'd be three interpretations, there'd be two or three tongues and there'd be two or three interpretations. There'd be... the gifts would be operating all the time. And it was really interesting because being an intellectual, in my own strange way, when I walked into a church and someone started speaking in tongues, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I broke into a cold sweat. I thought, I hope they don't expect me to do that. And I went to get prayed for the release of tongues, and my brain just would not buy it. So I would go and get prayed for. I remember seeing Chris Blacker's dad one stage, getting prayed for, and my brain's still not buying it. I went to other blokes and they prayed for me and I still wasn't buying it. And it wasn't until somebody actually laid hands on me and prayed that God would bypass my brain, which was the problem, that I actually was able to speak in tongues. Now, was I saved before that? Yes, I was. Did the Holy Spirit indwell me before that? Yes, he did. This was simply a release of tongues. In church services, there can be a gift of tongues that are expressed. Have you ever asked yourself why? I mean, if somebody's going to prophesy, we understand that because we understand what they're saying. But if someone's going to speak in tongues and we don't get it, we don't understand what they're saying, we need to have an interpreter. There needs to be somebody that's going to interpret what they say. But if someone's going to interpret what they say, why doesn't that person just say it instead of the person who's speaking in tongues? I mean, it seems redundant. And I've always found it interesting that a little like you with your voice syncing, somebody will come out with a very short message in tongues and the interpretation will go on for 20 minutes. It's like watching one of those Chinese martial art movies. Get behind me. Hi. How you going? Have you ever wondered when you've heard someone speak in tongues that they seem to, can be repetitive or you hear a certain word used a number of times? Because I used to do this. And the minute that I would hear that, I would go, okay, now I went with the interpreter. And Richard would start to interpret and go, hold on, he didn't say the same word five times. I heard that person say the same word in tongues five times and he didn't say that word five times. That can't be the right interpretation. Why? Because I'm working through my brain. It can be a blessing. It also can be your biggest stumbling block because the mind does not understand the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to have us reliant on Him, not our intellect. It doesn't mean we take our brains out and stick them in boxes when we come into church. We are to assess. But when we're walking or talking in the Spirit, it's humbling. And I think that's one of the main reasons I couldn't speak in tongues, because I didn't want to make it up and I didn't really believe it. And when people would sit there with me and say, okay, look, just repeat after me, I don't think so. The Holy Spirit has a personal tongue for us, and it can come in diverse manners. But we need to have an interpretation, because tongues is generally or predominantly a prayer gift. Now, prophecy is to speak to the people in the church. But tongues is to speak to God. And the interpreter usually will follow in prayer form, directing it towards God. It's a different type of gift. And it has great value, because it expresses our hearts, because it's our spirit that prays. The Holy Spirit is not praying through you. It's our spirit, touched by the Holy Spirit, that prays. And I don't know about you sometimes, but there's lots and lots and lots of times I don't know how to pray. Ever felt like that? This is a situation. How do I pray about that? How do I speak what's on my heart? I don't even know what's on my heart. I'm praying for faith because I'm afraid. I'm in grief and I want that to be healed. But I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And the Holy Spirit enables our spirits to speak directly to God. So we don't have to go through our brain. Do you ever wonder, when you're praying, whether you're saying the right thing? Ever wonder if you might be getting it wrong somewhere along the line, you know? I don't want to pray that, God, because it might be really selfish of me to pray that. And if I pray that, you might not be very happy with me and you won't give me what I want. Because we're so generous. When I pray in tongues, I get refreshed because I know that I'm praying the right thing regardless of whether I understand it. Tonight, I'm coming here. What am I doing in the car? Turn off the football because we were losing, and I pray in tongues. I would have turned it off even if we were winning, because I needed to pray in tongues, because I get very nervous before I get up here. When we were away on holidays, I wanted to make sure things went well. And I just found myself just naturally praying in tongues the whole time. That is a personal gift. That is something I can exercise at any time. It's subject to me. I don't have uncontrollable outbursts of just speaking in tongues because I had to do it. It's not Tourette syndrome. And that's something which we look at, you know, the spirit is subject to the prophet. In other words, we have control over that. But a gift of tongues to the body is to edify, to build up, and to exhort. And we are told, Paul tells us, that if we're going to speak in tongues, either seek the interpretation ourselves, which I think is the primary thing, or make sure there's somebody interpreting there. Not translating, interpreting. One of the most famous issues, or one of the most famous examples of this, we find in Daniel 5. In Daniel 5, the king, there's a message written on the wall. And the king, I think was it Darius? Anybody know? All right, good. I had it when I get it wrong. He is... wants to find an interpretation for it. Now, there's four words that are written on the wall. Many, many, tekel, afasim. And it's funny because when I came in, Neil Murray was, and I were chatting, and he was talking to me about that, which is, seeing there's no coincidences, that must have been a good thing from God. Okay, so we've got four words. How many words does Daniel use to explain those four words? He uses 34. If you use the Amplified Bible, he uses 120. Thank goodness Daniel didn't have the Amplified Bible. Meaning, God has numbered your days as reigning of, as a king and is bringing it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Peres, or Farsen. Your kingdom is divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians. Interpretation of tongues interprets the heart or the meaning of what's being said. It doesn't translate it. So when somebody speaks in tongues in church service, the person who interprets doesn't speak as a translation. This is what each word means. But they give it a interpretation. This is the heart of it. This is the soul, the spirit of it. That's why it's so important that we don't have people praying in tongues all over the place and nobody interpreting, because it does nobody any value then. Paul says we need to pray with our minds as well as our spirits. We need to sing in the spirit as well as with our minds, with our conscious mind. It's not a replacement. It all works together. And done in order, it works well. If it's not done in order, we have some problems. One of the reasons that leadership is so important in a church is because a good leader, a sensitive leader, will be able to direct where something is going or stop if it gets out of control. And if we don't have that, we can be subject, because we are all emotional beings, we can be subject to torrents of personal words or personal emotions which have nothing to do with the way the Spirit's leading. It's not wrong for a person to pour their heart out, but it's wrong to do it in a church service where there's no interpretation and it's not a message for the body. Okay. As with all the gifts in the Holy Spirit that we've looked at, there'll be people that'll have a more natural inclination or more natural ability to move in this gift. It's still to bless the church. It's edify the church. But there'll be people that will have more confidence to do this. For some, praying in tongues or speaking the word out in tongues is easier than prophesying, because if you prophesy, you've got to know what's going on. You've got it in your head and you've got to say the words, and you can get tongue-tied, you can get upset, you can get self-conscious. Whereas if you're praying in tongues, you just open your mouth and allow your spirit to pour out. So it can be easier for people who want to move in the spirit in a corporate level to do it in tongues than it may be in prophecy or word of wisdom. There's another thing that happens too. It helps build the unity and the fellowship together, because if one of us speaks in tongues and Richard interprets, there's a sense of teamwork. I'm doing my part, he's doing his part. And that works out well as well. I mean, it works all together for the building up of the body. I think that in the gifting aspect of it, there are not that many people that have the gifting of speaking in tongues in the church. Can you have that gifting? If your heart desires it, if that's something that's laid on your heart, then yes, you can, as so is any other gifting. We spoke when we started doing this set of notes on motivational gifts, the personality gifts, who you are as a person, who God made you as an individual. And those are the gifts of the Father to you, his children. And some of us have motivational gifts which lend itself much more easily to certain expressions than to others. But the gifts all come from God. And if we use them towards God, they can all be beneficial to all the people in the church. Okay. We need 5 guidelines for speaking or using tongues in church. This is at the end of your notes. It's all there, but it's right at the end of your notes. 1. Enthusiasm. With no disrespect to any congregation or any denomination, have you ever sat in a church service where, you know, even the flies were falling asleep? I mean, if it got any duller, it's like watching Mr. Bean when he's in the church and he just falls asleep on his face on the floor. Any gift from God is to be used with enthusiasm, to be fervent, to have zeal, to be excited about it because God's speaking through us, to us, with us. The Holy Spirit is moving in our people. That's, if we start to get a concept of how big that is, we sing the songs tonight. I love the songs you guys choose. Sing the songs tonight, and you know, I will rise with you. The Holy Spirit is moving in us all the time. The more we allow it to permeate us, the more we walk in that, the more, not comfortable in the sense of taking it for granted, but the more confident we are of how God is working with us and how he's not watching us from a distance, but he's right here. He's intimate with us. So we need to be enthusiastic. 2, we need to be considerate. It's basically simple awareness and kindness towards other people. If you know that you starting to speak in tongues is going to cause some offence or grief, why would you do it? Now, why would anybody do it? But I have been witness to people standing on street corners praying loudly in tongues. I don't know what their hearts were for. Maybe that's what God called them to do. I just looked at them and thought, you're really not doing God or yourself any favours here. And that was before the wagon pulled up with the guys who put them inside. We need to be considerate of others. There needs to be, as in all the gifts, there needs to be humility. We can't be presumptuous. The humility is not making it a look at me performance, but simply being obedient. And that actually helps us so much because if we're being obedient, we're being humble in that, we don't have to be self-conscious. This is what God's saying. We just simply say what God said. If you don't like it, that's your problem. You take it up with God. I didn't make this up. That's all I had. And that's okay. So that humility actually saves us. It needs to be done in order. We need to be under submission. I've been in places where somebody would start praying in tongues over here and then somebody would start praying in tongues over here at the same time. Now, what's really nice is when they're both so aware of that they both stop praying and they're sort of waiting for the other one to start up again. And there's like a 5 or 6 second delay, and then when the other one starts up, this one starts up again too because it's the same period of time. And you go, yeah, hold on a second. You go first. But to do things in order. Courtesy, really. Preferring one another. Not in competition. 5. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Self-control. It's not an uncontrollable outburst. You have control over it and you can use it. Paul says to us, excel in the gifts that are most profitable or better for use. Some people have said that because the diverse tongues is the last of the gifts mentioned in Corinthians 12, it's the least important. Well, that's like saying self-control is the least important of the fruits because it's the last one mentioned. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are good and they're all there for our building up, our edification, our exhortation, They're all there for that. So we can seek these gifts. If it's on your heart, ask the Lord for it. And I believe that God, who is no man's, you know, he will look at you and say, yes, if you want that, that's fine, you can have it. You want to use it to build my body? No worries at all. Now, that's pretty much specifically what the gift of diverse tongues is. But there's others. And we won't go along with it, but I just want to talk about in Acts 2, when we got the day of Pentecost, the people that were there came from all around the Mediterranean region. Asia, Egypt, Arabs, Romans, Carpathians, Cappadocians, Elamites, Judea, everywhere they came. And when the people in Acts 2, when the 120 in the upper room were praying and speaking in tongues, each person heard what they were saying in their own language. Now, that's a witness to the people. I think back to when God said, hey, we better cause division in the language, because if these people are all of one tongue, if they're all speaking the same language, there's no stopping. There's no telling what they can achieve. So the Tower of Babel incident occurs. But here, in Acts 2, you've got 120 Galileans, Jews, Israelites, speaking, and everyone's understanding them. So it's a restoration of understanding in that as well. I don't know how that works, but I do know we have personal experience of it. Pastor Graham was in the Ukraine a number of years ago, and I've asked him if I could tell this story, and a woman came forward for prayer. She had a large goiter on her neck, and she came forward for healing prayer. Graham was using a translator as he was speaking, and the translator made the call, and this woman came forward. And if I've got it right, Graham said, okay, I'm just going to pray for her in tongues, so you don't need to interpret. Just started praying for this lady in tongues. She got touched. In actual fact, she got healed. Next day, I think it was the next day, we had show and tell. And she comes back to show and tell what God has done for her. And the goiter's gone. I mean, personally, I like the ones you can't see because you can never prove them. But the goiter went. The goiter's gone. So it's, there's no arguing with it. This isn't psychosomatic. This wasn't just that you sat on the chair crooked. The goiter's gone. And she says to Graham through the interpreter, where did you learn to speak Russian? And Graham looks at her and says, I can't speak Russian. She said, well, yes, you can, because last night when you were praying for me, I understood every word you said. It's important for us to know that God's real. We have our faith, and that's great. But God also expresses himself to us in a way that says, look at my wonders. And he expresses that in a wonderful way. In Acts 2, these guys are praying, and people understand them in their own language. And they're from all over the place. Graham's in the Ukraine, and a lady is prayed for, and she hears him speaking in Russian. Praise God. It's another manifestation of the gift of tongues. Another manifestation. It's a diverse tongue. But the thing that's probably more important to me than anything else when it comes to tongues is not that it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit infilling, although I believe that it is, but it's there for everybody. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon different individuals. You know, a crowd are sitting around and the Holy Spirit would come on one, two, maybe three. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost is given to all of them, and they all receive it. And it's indwelling. He's not upon them anymore. He's inside them. And he's never going away. He's never leaving. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's in Romans. Now, we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we know that the Comforter, our friend, our glorious friend, dwells within us.
In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came and went.
That's true. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells here. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's important too, because for us, tongues is also a prayer language, an intercessory language. It fulfills so many different parts. And the interesting thing about it too is that of all the gifts that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, tongues is the only new gift. In the Old Testament, there were healings, there were miracles, there was wisdom, there was words of knowledge. All of these things took place in the Old Testament as well. But tongues is not recorded anywhere in the Old Testament. It's only recorded in the New. When Paul speaks to Caesarea, where he goes to speak to the Gentiles, and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they go, "What are you talking about?" Bingo, immediately, bang, the Holy Spirit comes on them. This is after Pentecost. I think it's some 10 years after Pentecost. In Ephesus, or Ephesus, 25 years later, after the day of Pentecost, the believers in Ephesus receive the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues. The man who speaks in tongues does what? Edifies himself, builds himself up. I don't know about you, but my brain often gets in the way of what I'm doing. I've got a fairly good brain, or at least they tell me that, but it hasn't helped me a lot. Usually it just makes me try to figure things out. I can get anxious, I can get worried, whatever. But I know that when I rely on the Holy Spirit and I pray in tongues, the peace that Jesus talks about when he says, "Yeah, my peace I'll give to you," that peace comes upon me. The sense of being able to trust, knowing that God heard my heart, and knowing that there's nothing in my heart against God or God has anything against my heart, is such a wonderful, wonderful encouragement and comfort to me. The gift of tongues in the concept we've been talking about is probably seen as being one of the lesser ones, because Paul says it'd be better to prophesy than speak in tongues, because speaking in tongues doesn't help the enlightenment of the mind. But it's not unimportant on a personal level. It's incredibly important on a personal level, because again, it's probably the only, or it is the only gift that you don't need to have anybody else there with. If you're going to pray for healing, there's got to be somebody sick. You want to give a word of wisdom, there's got to be somebody... If you've got a word of knowledge, okay, there's got to be somebody to receive it. But tongues is intimate, it's private, it's personal, and it does something else. Who, you know, when the scripture says, "Be thou perfect as I am perfect," does anybody cringe with that? "Be thou perfect as I am perfect." Does any of us cringe with that? Because I don't know about you guys, I struggle to be good, let alone perfect. Perfect is just a little bit out of my reach. But James talks about the fact that he who can control the tongue is a perfect man, perfect in all manner. Because the tongue is unruly. He uses the example of the tongue being a rudder or a bit in the mouth of a horse. It's the tongue that speaks evil. When Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles, but what comes out, it's from the heart being expressed. As a man speaketh, so he is. But see, the Holy Spirit has control of our tongues as well. And we can lay that down and give it to Him and allow ourselves to pray in the Spirit and know that what's coming out here is pure. Where the rest of me has got me all over it, my fingerprints and my DNA. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is specifically just me and God. There's no room for turning. There's nothing personally biased in it. It's open and it's true. For me personally, the intellectual aspect of speaking in tongues is not one where I look at it and go, aren't we good because we can speak in tongues? I think I just need to speak in tongues all the time. I need to pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. We can't pray without ceasing unless we're using our spirit. For me personally, the intimacy that that gives me, the ability for me to rely and to build my faith with God, to build up my own faith, is almost inherent by how much I use the gift of speaking in tongues. When I first spoke in tongues, you couldn't get me to shut up. And for about three or four weeks, I walked around on a cloud. I was just over the moon because I couldn't do this before and now I can. It was the only thing that Christianity had for me. I couldn't do that before and now I can do this. That's amazing. But we start to get used to certain things. And I would say to you, because I know that there are people here tonight, that it allowed the gift of the Holy Spirit in this area to dry up in you. And I would encourage you to start to exercise the gift within you, to start to speak with the Spirit. Because I believe that as we do that, there's a whole lot of different things that happen. I was a counsellor for a long time, and if people had to spend more time praying in the Spirit, they would have spent a lot less time sitting in my office. Because as we pray with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit heals aspects of our lives. If there's bitterness, grief, anger, resentment, pain, if there's unresolved conflicts, you can pray in the Spirit. You can think of that situation and you can give it over to God in a prayer language, not knowing how to pray yourself, but giving it over to God in a prayer language. And I believe you'll get more resolution out of that than any gestalt therapy or psychoanalysis. I'm not saying that those things aren't useful at times, but I'm saying that giving it to God and allowing God to touch us in the deepest parts of our being, right down deep, is a way for healing, a way for restoration, and that all comes through praying in tongues. If there's bitterness, grief, anger, resentment, pain, if there's unresolved conflicts, you can pray in the Spirit. You can think of that situation and you can give it over to God in a prayer language, not knowing how to pray yourself, but giving it over to God in a prayer language. And I believe you'll get more resolution out of that than any gestalt therapy or psychoanalysis. I'm not saying that those things aren't useful at times, but I'm saying that giving it to God and allowing God to touch us in the deepest parts of our being, right down deep, is a way for healing, a way for restoration, and that all comes through praying in tongues, praying with the Spirit. Okay. Now, we started at the back, we went to the forward, we skipped around in the middle a little bit. The notes are good. Read the notes. And we may talk about this at another time. Let's just pray. Yes.
I want to concur with everything he said. Let me just talk to you a bit about tongues interpretation just for a minute, and because I think it's important, and that is when I was first in church, just come into the things of the Pentecost, and Dale talked about that, and it was quite embarrassing sometimes. Then you started bringing people to church. I would pray on the way to church that no one did anything wacky because I didn't want to be embarrassed. And it was only when I read the scripture that tongues and interpretations were for the unbelievers, not the believers, that I started to realize that the unbelievers see something that we don't often see. They see the supernatural. They're looking for the supernatural. And so I believe often now when I hear tongues and interpretations in church that God is not doing it for us as Christians. He's doing it for the unbelievers that people have brought. And so I want to encourage you tonight not to put away what we've been talking about with the gifts. Seek God for all the gifts. But if God gives you a tongue or an interpretation, don't hold back, because I believe that it's going to be for an unbeliever and that you're going to be ministering into a life of somebody who is seeking and searching God. So can I encourage you not to let this one slide? This is an incredibly valuable gift. Not for us. The gift, the personal gift of speaking in tongues is valuable for us, but the gift of tongues and interpretations to the body is for the unbelievers primarily, and I encourage you to seek God for it and to use it. Good job. You can pray.
You can have that back. And if any of you haven't been released in that area, don't be shy. God has all good gifts in Christ for you. All good gifts. He wants you to have them all. It's not a matter of how little we need. It's a matter of how much we can get. And so if you haven't been released in a prayer language or haven't been released in tongues, I would encourage you to speak to somebody. It's not hard jacker. It's no work in it at all. But it's a gift that God wants to give you. Okay. Father, I thank you that your heart is always towards your children, that you are